This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to, it's Thursday, which means I'm joined by the brilliant and talented Adele Musa all the way from Munster, Germany by telephone today because we have some, equipment issues, but we're performing Subversity Science Roundup. Today's show is billed as, everything you wanted to know about the prostate, but were afraid to ask. How you doing, Adele?
Actually, I'm doing fine, and I think my prostate is in pretty good shape.
Yes, mine is too, especially if you're having frequent sex, which hopefully is part of the discussion today about prostate health, because we talked about that once before. But first of all, I have to say that thanks to the support of the audience for this show, we're able to do things from time to time. And one of the things that we did recently was in honor of Adele Moose's birthday, which is June 12th, the day after mine. So he's actually older than me. No, I'm only kidding. He's younger than me, of course. But anyway, we sent Adele to a fantastic German restaurant that I handpicked right in his hometown of in the old town of Munster, Germany. So the name of the restaurant was called Drubelkin, correct?
Yeah, Drubelkin, yeah.
And so tell me about it. What was it like?
Well, actually, when I arrived at the restaurant, I thought, now I know why Carl picked it. Because in a way, it's probably like most Americans imagine Germany to be. It's in a very old house that's from the, I think it's from the 16th or 15th century.
Yes.
And has a very, very long history. And it is, people have always been working in order to keep it in shape. And they still got those very narrow rooms, and they have an ages-old oven there. Fortunately, the oven was not switched on because it was pretty warm on that day. And they serve local specialties, so to say. And the interesting thing about this is that the menu is actually written in a certain dialect, in an old German dialect. At least parts of them, and especially the names of some of the dishes are in this dialect. And when I looked at the menu, I first had to ask the waitress for a couple of things because I wasn't sure what those were. And the building, obviously, in the lower floor where we were sitting, there must have been some sort of staples back in the day because we sat next to the oven. And right across, there was a small niche which had the inscription "Swine Stall" written on top of the wooden bar that was there to support the ceiling. And this means it's where the pigs were housed before.
So the pigs were actually kept in the restaurant itself.
Well, it was not a restaurant at that time.
Ah, okay.
So,
okay.
It was rather a, in a way, it was, I don't know, really know who owned it, but it has a pretty interesting history because they also have a larger room where obviously one of the important peace treaties has been signed.
Wow.
In the 17th century.
Now, when you said the waitress, was this a young lady named Paulina by any chance?
Oh, I don't know.
Because there was the waitress, you know, I would call Germany, after searching for different restaurants, I found this one restaurant that everyone raved about, and especially the steak. They had quite a few different cuts of steak and a fish platter, and they looked like they had a wide variety of ancestral type foods that I thought, well, Adele would probably like this place. So then the task was to call the restaurant and make arrangements to set up a gift certificate, if you will. And of course, you know, I call Germany and the first thing I say, English, please. And then everybody speaks English there. It's amazing. You know, you don't even realize you're calling Germany. And the first person I encountered was a young lady named Paulina. And she and a gentleman named Philip, because the only person who didn't speak English was the chef, the proprietor, the guy who owned the place. Geez. So they helped me facilitate it and assured me that you would have a good time there, and I obviously did. So that's good. I'm very, very happy. You enjoyed. You had the fish platter, did you not?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And it was excellent.
Yeah, good, good. Well, there you go.
But I think one thing that's not completely paleo about the meal is that it has the typical Westphalian focus on regular potatoes. And you know that I have no problem with eating regular potatoes, and I even like them better
right.
than sweet potatoes.
Right.
But it's the real focus of the restaurant. So this may be the only not-so-paleo aspect of the restaurant, but the food was delicious.
Yeah, no.
Really.
And the restaurant again. The restaurant was beautiful. I saw it's very rustic, very dark, heavy dark colored woods, and you really feel like you're stepping back in time from what I could tell from the photographs that they had on the internet. And so that was a gift to Adele Moussa from the Superhuman Nation. All of you out there who listen to the show who benefit from all of Adele's hard work that he does constantly to put these shows together, we say happy birthday to Adele. So there you go. Enough of that. Okay, so Clay Tisdale out in California, who listens to the show live all the time, he's probably listening right now. He's my guy out in California. He's always emailing me during the show. He's a hardcore dinosaur like me, older dude. He said, Carl, when are you guys going to do a show about the prostate cancer, prostate health, prostate? And I forwarded it to Adele, and he said, we've got plenty of research. We can do this show. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to talk about the prostate until you're blue in the face. We're going to talk about prostate health, and we're going to talk about things that can be done to prevent prostate cancer, and we'll get all this stuff out of the way. But before we get there, I have to traditionally we talk about science in the news, and recently a study was released trying to implicate high fructose corn. Fructose. Recently, talk about this study and why this study really missed the mark.
Well, this is really in the news because I spotted it earlier today on Science Daily. So the press release went out yesterday, and overnight I didn't have the time to look at it, but it's from June 19th. So it's really absolutely timely. And the scientists actually did a pretty, or at least what looks like a pretty good study, because they did not use a rodent model, but they actually used monkeys, and they also made sure that the different groups would eat the exact same amount of energy, or would consume the exact same amount of energy. And what they tried to elucidate was whether the previous observations they had made in monkeys who were fed with a high fructose diet and overconsumed or ate excessive amounts of energy, whether those were related to the fructose in the diet or whether this was just related to the overall weight gain. And so this is a controlled follow-up to what you could call an epidemiological study in monkeys they did before. And when you just read the press release, you actually get the message that this is the first study done in primates that would demonstrate that even a 24% fructose intake would result within several weeks only in an increase in fat deposition in the liver and precipitate to fatty liver disease. The problem, though, is when you actually look at the diet, or at the two different diets they administered to the monkeys, they do not simply differ in the fructose content, which would be what you would usually expect if you want to investigate the sole effect of fructose, but there are a whole host of differences it almost looks like you test the official healthy diet with grainy starches and plant fibers and whey protein as the protein source, and, well, of course, pork fat may not be the main, the best advised fat if you ask the current medical experts, But on the other hand, you had wheat flour as the major source of carbohydrates in the high fructose group.
Right.
They got casein instead of whey.
Right.
And there is some evidence that diets that are based exclusively on casein also precipitate to several metabolic problems. And instead of the pork fat, the monkeys in the high fructose group received vegetable oils and butter.
Now, I mean, this is my problem. If you're trying to isolate the effects of fructose, wouldn't you keep everything else in the diet the same except for the fructose content?
You should expect that, yeah.
I mean, when I looked at this, I thought, who are these scientists, Mo, Larry, and Curly? I mean, one group is getting whey protein, the other one's getting casein, one is getting pork fat, the other one's getting vegetable oil, and one is getting so much in wheat. We know that wheat has problems with leaky gut and so on and so forth. I looked at this and I thought, if you wanted to do a study and foul it up as much as possible so that it really didn't have any conclusive evidence, this is what you would do.
In fact, it is. And what's particularly interesting is that in the press release, the guy or girl who wrote the press release cites indirectly what the study, what the author says and writes. In the high fructose group, the researchers found that the type of intestinal bacteria hadn't changed, but that they were migrating to the liver more rapidly and causing damage there. Mm. It appears that something about the high fructose levels was causing the intestines to be less protective than normal. Well, if I may remind you, there were 24% of fructose in the diet, but on the other hand, there were 45% of wheat flour in the diet.
And we already know that wheat causes leaky gut syndrome.
Yeah, it does, and especially in this high processed variety and in this amount, because those were 45% of the energy intake from the diet actually came from wheat flour. This was rather a study into the effects of wheat flour with grain starches and plant fiber than a study in the effects of fructose.
Right, right. Now, I'm not a huge fan of fructose, but I do eat fruit now after some of the shows that we've done here. And, I mean, I have an apple post-workout every day now. But I still don't think that high amounts of fructose are wise if you are looking for optimal health and minimal body fat. But with that being said, I don't think this study implicates fructose at all. I think the study implicates wheat flour and the lack of whey protein in the diet, if anything, and possibly even the damaging effects of vegetable oils.
All of this could be a factor. And if you actually would try to come up with a menu for a human to copy this the diet, I think this would be like eating toast with peanut butter, flushing all that down with Coke, and eating a pizza afterwards.
Yeah.
So this is not really about fructose, and this is something that absolutely frustrates me, because if you don't have access to the studies, you really can't figure that out. And even if you do have, it's a whole lot of work. And I already see how this study will make the rounds on the internet, and people will say, finally, it's proven fructose gives you fatty liver disease within weeks.
Yeah.
And this is really problematic, and this is not the only case where this is happening. I mean, we are talking about things like this, or we have been talking about things like this in almost every second of the last installment of the Science Roundup.
And that's why it's important, those of you listening to the show or listening to the podcast, you need to be aware that this particular study does not indict fructose at all. If anything, it indicts an absence of the scientific process by these researchers, and nothing more. So when you hear this news from your friends, you can obviously speak to it and explain to them that they're clearly wrong about this, and here's why. Because on the Subversity Science Roundup, Adele applies the sniff test, which means he goes deep into the research and reads it, not just the top summary of the press release. Okay. I'm getting my rubber glove on, because when we come back, we're going to check your prostate. Ooh. You're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup, brought to you by Subversity.com. SUPPVERSITY. We'll be right back.
summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay. Lean over. We're going in. We're going to go into the deep discussion about prostate cancer. So Clay Tisdale wrote, I'd like for you and Adele to discuss all of what we know, science-based, or need to know about keeping the prostate healthy. The saying is, we men will either die from prostate cancer or die with prostate cancer. And that's very true. I have a cousin.
And very smart.
What's that?
It's very smart.
Yes.
It's a very smart comment. Because,
yes.
In fact, it appears like it's actually true. We will get to that later, but I can already say that there is a major difference between having some abnormal cells in the prostate and what people usually understand as being prostate cancer, which is hazardous to your life. So in the end, it may well be that most of us will die with some of those anomalies in their prostate and we'll never notice it.
Right. I have a cousin who has prostate cancer, and his doctor told him, we'll watch it, he goes, but chances are you're going to die of something else, and they're not even going to worry about it. So there you go. Okay. Is there a difference in the way prostate cancer affects black males versus white males, and perhaps even from the standpoint of diet and supplementation?
Well, it appears as if there were. The unfortunate truth is that we know we have plenty of data from epidemiological studies, but there's very little actually from clinical trials, because obviously there are two factors involved here. You do not want somebody to develop prostate cancer, so you couldn't put somebody onto a diet which puts them at risk of developing prostate cancer, or of which you believe that it puts them at risk. On the other hand, it usually takes years to develop prostate cancer. So it's actually not really possible to do well-controlled studies. One of the few exceptions to that is actually the SELECT trial, where scientists believed that by supplementing with selenium and vitamin E, they could reduce the increased risk of prostate cancer. And we all know that this did not really work out, although it is probably a null effect, not as it was pictured in many popular science magazines, that if you take some vitamin E and selenium, you will immediately develop prostate cancer.
Right.
But back to the original question, if we look at some of the older studies, it's really quite intriguing that there are major differences in what appears to be protective and what appears to be hazardous for black and white Americans. There is a study from 1999 which was conducted in the U.S., and in this particular study they analyzed for the occurrence of prostate cancer and for the development of advanced prostate cancer separately. And what they found was that fruits, for example, led to a 40% reduction in advanced prostate cancer risk, but that was only true in white.
Right.
So for the African Americans, there was no risk reduction with fruits, neither for the overall risk nor for the advanced cancer risk. And interestingly, and this was quite surprising to me, the vegetable intake, it didn't really matter if the people were in the lowest or the highest quartile, there was no effect at all. And in the blacks, there was even a slight increase with higher vegetable intakes, but that was not statistically significant.
I know this is a curveball, but I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking this doesn't make sense, but what we don't know is what the effects of pesticides may play a role in this if we're eating conventionally grown fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that's a factor, and obviously you don't know how wide the span actually is. So it's possible from other studies we know that the margin between low vegetable intakes and high vegetable intakes in European or Americans of European descent is broader than in African Americans. So this could be a factor as well, that the intake in the lowest quartile and the highest quartile is not different or does not differ that much in the African Americans as it does in the European Americans.
Right, right. One thing we can all agree on is that cereal grains, things like breads and pastas, they have an increase in cancer risk across the board, right?
No, only in blacks.
Really?
Not in whites, yeah. In the white population, actually, there was a protective effect that did not reach statistical significance in all cases, but was in the range of 20%, with an increase in cereal, in whole grain cereal intake, versus a 40% increase in general cancer risk and a 70% increase in advanced cancer risk in the African Americans. But if you look at other studies, not all of them analyzed specifically for cereals and grains, there's some evidence that a very high carbohydrate intake in general is counterindicated regardless of your race. And this is probably related to the ensuing effects on the glucose metabolism and the changes in insulin sensitivity, which precipitate to increased levels of IGF-1. And if you are actually developing cancer, then IGF-1 is like the afterburner for the progress
right.
of the cancer.
Right.
And this is not about real normal levels of IGF-1. We all need some IGF-1 in order to function normally. But if those levels are getting too high and they are not properly regulated, which happens when you are really insulin resistant, then this is a very well studied risk factor of especially advanced prostate cancer.
Now, you say not regulated properly. Are you saying that is this a result of the diobese individual not producing enough binding protein to secure the IGF-1, or is this do they just have much higher levels of IGF in general?
It's a combination of both, obviously. The IGF level is somewhat related to the insulin level. So if you have chronically high insulin level, your IGF level will also go up. And there is evidence, or it is just the case, that in most people who are developing obesity and on their way to diabetes, the IGF binding protein is also missing. And this means that on the one hand, you have more of the hormone, of the active hormone floating around, and you have less of the ability to regulate the levels properly. And this can become very problematic. And therefore, insulin resistance is actually one of the most fundamental indicators or problems that will increase your risk of prostate cancer. Interestingly enough, when you are already diabetic and your body does not produce any insulin any longer because your pancreas is already more or less dead, your prostate cancer risk will drop again.
The obviously, dairy and red meat, I'm talking about real red meat, steak and stuff, they raise IGF-1 levels. So those are contraindicated, I would believe, for people with advanced prostate cancer. Am I right or wrong about that?
Right, yeah. But actually, there's, again, a pretty interesting, at least in this study, a pretty interesting difference between whites and blacks, where the meats appear to be a high risk factor for the blacks, while the dairy is rather problematic for the whites. With a 70% increase in whites with a high dairy intake and 90% increase with meat and red meat in the African-American population. And now it's difficult to judge what kind of meat is included here. But in general, you are right. It's more or less it's the anabolic quality of these foods that can pose a danger. If you think about the ways we are currently treating prostate cancer, there are two things we are doing. The first one is we are intoxicating the cancer by attacking it with chemotherapy or with heat or other methods directly targeted at the cancer. The other way of therapy is by
androgen blockade therapy, blocking the androgens, right?
Yeah. And there are also new treatment methods which are targeting the mTOR pathway. And actually, this is the main hypothesis scientists currently harbor in terms of the effect of dairy on prostate cancer risk. Most scientists say that dairy will increase mTOR response, and the current or the continuous growth signaling will not just work on your muscles, which is something we would like, but will also work on all other tissues. And thus, it will make you grow, it will make every cell grow, and cancer cells have the unfortunate opportunity or ability to benefit more than the regular cell because they proliferate just faster, and therefore you're really in trouble when the DNA damage is already done and you have those abnormal cells and you're putting them in a constant quote-unquote anabolic environment. They are growing even more rapidly.
Interesting. We have to take a break. When we come back, we've got some more food groups to talk about. We're doing the All You Want to Know About Your Prostate, But We're Afraid to Ask show. This is the Subversity Science Roundup with Adel Moussa. Visit Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. I lost my mind there for a second. I thought this guy said something about a gay bar. I thought this is an inappropriate song for us to be listening to during the prostate show. We'll be right back.
train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937. Or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure. Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, AmNutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, AmNutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AmNutrition.com.
Recover!
AmNutrition. New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the Blueprintbulletin.com today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I'm going to have to change this thing, so let's stop for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
Sad news. James Gandolfini, who is most famous for playing Tony Soprano on The Sopranos, died of a heart attack in Italy. He was only 51 years old. I didn't know he was only 51 years old. When I saw pictures of him, I thought he was at least older than me. It's sad to say, but the guy was really, really overweight, probably in very, very poor health, probably diabetes, whether he knew it or not. Of course, remember, the diabetic dies generally of heart disease, not of diabetes. Very, very sad. He was one of my favorite actors on The Sopranos by far. And he may have benefited from this, because I got a feeling that if he died of a heart attack, he probably had some suspicious cells in his prostate too. With that being said, what other foods play a role or don't play a role, contrary to popular belief, in the health of the prostate, Adele?
Well, in this particular study from the U.S., we have Swedes, particularly in the European Americans, with a 50% risk increase. So this is the sugar association we've been talking about before, sugar and insulin. And there are also protective foods, and people will obviously have known about or heard about the protective effects of tomatoes. And what I found pretty interesting is that the scientists found a 20% reduction in general cancer risk and a 50% reduction in advanced cancer for tomatoes, but only for raw tomatoes and not for cooked tomatoes or for tomatoes in tomato sauce. And I think this is something you always have to keep in mind, because when you're doing these epidemiological studies also on meat and et cetera, you always have to see in which package you are getting these nutrients and even these foods. Because the tomatoes, like tomato sauce, for example, when I think of tomato sauce, I think of pasta and pizza. And in this case, it may not even be enough lycopene in the tomatoes to counter the negative effect of the rest of the food. And what is particularly interesting is that watermelons, and I think this is something people don't really know, they are even higher than tomatoes in lycopene content.
But what about the sugar? I stay away from watermelons because I keep thinking that they have high sugar content. Am I wrong about that?
They have relatively high sugar content if you eat the whole watermelon. There's so little sugar in them, they are mostly water. That's why they're called watermelons.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Otherwise, they'd call them sugar melons, I guess.
yeah, and even those don't have much sugar on a per 100 gram basis.
Right.
The difference between glycemic index and glycemic load. The glycemic load of watermelon is really, really low, because you get very few carbohydrates from a huge amount of watermelon. And as you see, you get all sorts of good nutrients. By the way, you also get citrulline from watermelons. So you can benefit in other ways down there, and not just your prostate, but also your sexual performance could benefit from that, because it will help with nitric oxide and obviously with erections if you're eating a lot of watermelon.
Right. Now, obviously, fat has been implicated in the development of cancers in general, and prostate cancer is no different. I see here in your notes, high fat intake in blacks, an increase in 90% and 140% respectively in prostate cancer and advanced prostate cancer. And again, high protein in blacks advances in 80% and 160% in cancer and advanced cancer, and high carbs in blacks, 30% increase and 70% increase in both prostate cancer and advanced cases of prostate cancer. What is it about the black male? I'm, you know, it's like, I feel bad for black men. It's like, wait a minute, everything I do, just about everything that the white guy can do, I can't do because it increases prostate cancer. What is it about the black male and the prostate?
I don't know, but in general, there is an increased risk for African-American individuals to develop prostate cancer. We don't really understand why this is the case, and I would be particularly suspicious about those correlates of total fat intake, total protein intake, and total carbohydrate intake, because these values are pretty nondescript. I like those things about foods or even individual ingredients in foods, because this gives you some more information. If you say, for example, that red meat is bad for blacks, or we have said that before, 90% increase. Now think about you can eat different types of red meat in different forms, and you can get away with red meat that is high in fat and high in protein. And so this is another correlation among the correlations, so to say. And therefore, it's very difficult to really figure out what is behind this. And I would like to jump to another study from Canada.
Please.
Because this is particularly interesting in view of the still harbored hypothesis that the bad fats and obviously the saturated fats above all others are increasing the risk of prostate cancer. And in this study from Canada, which is also from the 1990s, the increase or the intake of saturated fat and of animal fat were actually both significantly correlated with a lower risk of prostate cancer. And for saturated fat, this was a lower risk of 52% even. And even for the bad animal fats, it was still 31%. So in essence, this is one of the main issues I have with epidemiological studies. It appears to, on the one hand, they are not really concrete enough. You don't get enough information. You always have to put different things together in one category. You cannot go really into details. And on the other hand, obviously, really depends on the group you're looking at. Take for example the differences we've been talking about between African and European Americans. So if you have a mixed group, you can get a null result, although 50% will have very negative effects from eating whatever. If you have 50% blacks, for example, and 50% whites, you get a null result for a null result means you do not see any effect of the ingestion of grains, for example, because as much as it's bad for the blacks, it appears to be beneficial for the whites.
Right.
So this is really a problem. And in this particular study from Canada, that was one of the first studies which really provided significant evidence that the up to then really embraced theory that the main reason for prostate cancer would be an increase in fat and fat intake is not really the fact. And in the same study, we have a 24% increase risk with vegetable oils, which did not achieve statistical significance. But I think it's still worth mentioning this because you cannot really say general fat intake is bad or general fat intake is good for you.
You know, we have to take a break. I keep coming back to something. I don't know. I don't want to speak yet. I just found this study comparing African-American males to African males in sub-Saharan Africa, all of black skin color, and the rate of prostate cancer. I'm going to read this during the break. And when we come back, I want to throw this into the mix, too, because I've always known that black males have a higher rate of prostate cancer. We just did a show about Men's Health Initiative yesterday. We need to understand why black men have a higher rate of prostate cancer. And is it something specific to the United States, maybe? I just have a lot of questions whirling around in my head right now that'll all come connect probably during the break. All right, look, this is a Subversity Science Roundup. We're talking about the prostate health, prostate cancer, what you can do, what you shouldn't do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. In the meantime, visit Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com.
Carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay. So, just let me throw this in here as kind of a parallel discussion. Sub-Saharan Africans have a ridiculously lower rate of prostate cancer than African-American males. Now, it varies from the east to the west of Sub-Saharan Africa, but it goes from 10.7 per 100,000 man years adjusted to 4.7 per 100,000 man years adjusted. These are very, very low rates when you consider that in the United States it's 80 per 195 man years adjusted. So it's like 50% of the men, based on the man year adjustment model, get prostate cancer, black men, in the United States. Now, while I was digging around, I found several good studies that show a higher degree and higher concentration of melanin in the skin produces a higher degree of 5-alpha reductase, which produces a higher degree of DHT. So, you know, there's like some links are working in my head right now. I don't know what to make of any of this yet, but I'd really like to understand why our black male counterparts, our black brothers, are having this problem when we white guys seem to, you know, we get by. And you know what? And I better be careful what I say, because I have Ethiopian blood in my background. We've talked about this on the air before. And I'm really dark-skinned. I mean, I look like a fair-skinned African-American to most people. I've had people ask me, what color am I? One time we were at a dinner, Elisa and I, and this guy that was there said, what color are you? Because he thought maybe I was, you know, half and half. So I better be careful. I may be in line for some prostate problems myself. But anyway, okay, I'm sorry for that, Adele. I digress.
Well, I could digress with you because I could advise you to get out in the sun every day.
Yeah.
Because the study we'll mention later in things you can actually do found a very significant difference in terms of how low light or how low UV exposure is much more detrimental for African Americans or for dark-skinned people in terms of increasing the prostate cancer risk than for fair-skinned people.
And I have to also inject something here. You have Egyptian blood in you, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And you're as dark as I am. I've seen pictures, a picture of you, and you're as dark as I am. So this is something we both have.
When I've been in the sun for some time, I am. But at the moment, I'm as white as everyone else here, because those are the 3 days of real sun exposure for me at the moment.
Okay, so sunlight is important to the person with the darker skin. This is really interesting. This is counterintuitive, but it makes sense, because I believe that the reason those of us have dark skin is because we evolved under generations of being out in the sun. So the skin upregulated to become more resistant to sunburn over generations and generations.
This, and you need more sun exposure to induce certain effects. For example, to produce vitamin D, you need more sun exposure if you're dark than if you're fair-skinned. And there is, in fact, a connection of vitamin D and prostate cancer. And it is well established for the active form of vitamin D, which is the form that is produced by your body when you ingest or when you produce vitamin D3. And this is also interesting because it relates back to dietary factors, as there is an increased risk, which is pretty well researched in terms of dietary supplements, for high calcium intake. It's not so well researched in terms of overall calcium intake, which does not really appear to be problematic. But especially large amounts of supplemental calcium have been linked to a higher risk in prostate cancer. And if you think about the role of quote-unquote real vitamin D, the active form, it will directly regulate the calcium uptake from the intestine. And when you're constantly exposing your intestines to high doses of supplemental calcium, your body cannot but down-regulate vitamin D in order not to absorb too much calcium. And so this could be one of the mechanisms behind the negative effects of high calcium intakes on prostate cancer risk. And we do not really have a conclusive explanation why this is the case, but I would strongly advise not to supplement with large amounts of calcium, especially because if you adhere to what you may call an ancestral diet and consume many or large amounts, especially of green vegetables, and don't cut back totally on dairy, you usually get enough calcium. And if you do need to supplement or feel that you need to supplement, stick to a moderate amount so that your over intake ranges around 1 gram of calcium per day. This is plenty.
Yeah. I recently observed and calculated many of the micronutrients that I'm getting from the foods I eat, which most people eat about 9 different foods to 12 different foods a week. And I'm in my diet alone, I'm getting close to 2,000 milligrams or 2 grams of calcium a day without any calcium supplements.
Yeah. And calcium, vitamin D, there's another thing that is related to this in a very different way. This is retinol, vitamin A.
Yeah.
And from the same study we've just been talking about, with the decreased risk in prostate cancer with saturated fat intake, there is also a decreased risk with retinol intake. And this is a 34% risk reduction in prostate cancer with higher vitamin A intakes. And interestingly, the often hated beta carotene and even other carotenes had no beneficial effects in this study.
Mm.
So if you think about the saturated fats and the vitamin A, you will also realize that those foods which actually naturally contain retinol are also often high in saturated fat. And again, this brings us back to the food matrix and how all the things come together, and it's very difficult to really isolate individual nutrients, because I suspect if you try to correlate the data about the saturated fat intake and the retinol intake, you would find a very high correlation between both of them, and they are both beneficial in terms of the risk reduction for prostate cancer.
Now, I want to jump around just a little bit for a second, because I know we were going to talk about TRT, prostate cancer, and androgen and exercise as well, but I want to go back and talk about the PSA test for a second, because it tends to be the gold standard for evaluating someone's risk of prostate cancer. Now, obviously, the digital exam, which is no picnic, but we have to subject ourselves to it once in a while, all that can tell tactile is if the prostate is firm and round like a donut. It cannot tell anything else. Oh, well, that's not true. It can tell if there's a growth on the or in the prostate, because it won't be round like a donut. It'll have a lump in it. But the PSA test is the gold standard that not only is used for those trying to identify a risk of prostate cancer, but also those who have undergone prostate cancer treatment for the potential reoccurrence. What do you think about the PSA test, Adele?
Well, it's not really determined how accurate it is, and actually, if you closely scrutinize the data, you will find that most of the reviews which argue in favor of the PSA test have focused on things you would deem not that important. For example, the latest one published in 2013, just a couple of weeks ago, it was mainly focused on how cost-effective it is to do a PSA test. And I think there would be other methods available, or there are actually other methods and gene tests available, which may at least improve the diagnosis. Because if you have an elevated PSA level, which is higher than normal but not extremely high, this does not really tell you much. I found, for example, a study which investigated the effect of masturbating before the test.
Yes.
And even that increased the PSA level. So this is nothing you're not running around with a constant PSA level for weeks, but this is fluctuating very much. And so it's very difficult to say how accurate these analyses are, and we don't even really know how predictive they are. And if you look at what is usually concerned as the gold standard in terms of reviews, which is the Cochrane Review. And the latest issue of the Cochrane Review on the usefulness of the PSA test, then this one says that prostate cancer screening did not significantly decrease prostate cancer-specific mortality.
Mm.
So the current screening practice, which is based on the assumption that the PSA test is one of the major staples, is not really effective. Now, you could argue maybe we are not testing enough, but the scientists also say that the harms associated with the PSA-based screening and subsequent diagnostic elevations are frequent and moderate in severity. So in essence, what they are also mentioning is that it may produce over-diagnosis and over-treatment, and thus treatment-related harms, because we cannot really say whether the elevated prostate or the elevated PSA level is always associated with prostate cancer that needs treatment. And this is one of the most problematic areas here. We would have to have a follow-up test that follows the PSA test in order to determine whether there is A, something growing in there, and B, whether the cancer is malicious. And up to now, the only real established way to do this is by an invasive procedure, which can have ill health consequences.
Yeah.
Men
end up being rendered unable to get erections and even have orgasms quite often when they do those types of things.
Incontinency is also one of the problems.
Yeah, tinkling like
and,
so. Yeah.
This is something you really have to keep in mind. Although the prostate, the PSA test in general is probably still, I wouldn't say it's the best thing we have, but it's the best thing that's available to the average human being in order to diagnose his prostate cancer risk.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about prostate cancer and exercise. Then we're going to go on to prostate cancer and androgens, and more importantly, testosterone therapy. And we've got lots of good things to continue to talk about in the area of caring for your prostate. You better care about your prostate. You're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup. Visit subversity.com today. We'll be right back.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Power Block Dumbbell can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Choicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Are you ready? Ready, ready, ready.
Stop putting toxic toothpaste in yours and your children's mouths. Switch to AuraMD, I did. Made from botanical oils and nothing toxic. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AuraMD banner ad to learn more. They're giving our audience only a buy one, get one free. They've never done this before. Nowhere. Check it out. Great stuff. I love this stuff. And in fact, the other day I didn't have any with me, and I brushed with some of the Burt's Bees toothpaste, and Elisa said to me, why didn't you brush with AuraMD? She could tell, like, as soon as I approached her. So, there you go. It definitely makes a difference. Okay, prostate cancer and exercise. Is there any protective benefits from exercise as it relates to prostate cancer, Adele?
There certainly is, and not just for prostate cancer. By the way, this is something people got to realize, that much of what we've been saying hitherto is probably valid for all sorts of different types of cancer, especially the thing about insulin and in the mismanagement of insulin, so to say. And in a 2008 review of the literature on cancer in general, the author writes that about 25% of cancer cases globally are due to excess weight and a sedentary lifestyle. So you can work on the sedentary lifestyle, obviously, by going to the gym or joining a sports club or doing whatever you like, but get up from the couch and try to get moving. Because studies in general show an average risk reduction ranging from 10 to 30% by just a very moderate exercise and activity per week. And while there are also studies indicating that the benefits are probably overblown, it's quite interesting that in 1996 a group investigated actually what would be the best amount of exercise. Unfortunately, they are looking at the energy expenditure only in their trial, and it turned out that an additional energy expenditure of only 1,000 to 2,000 calories per week already reduced the cancer risk by 63%.
Wow.
And this is not all that much. This would be like three workouts per week, and you would achieve this reduction in cancer risk. And what they also found out, and I think this may be even more significant, is a 64% decrease for those who are physically fit. And physically fit in this case was defined by doing one of those standard treadmill tests.
Mm.
That means if you are well conditioned, so to say, your risk of prostate cancer will drop significantly. And in order to achieve that, you obviously have to train regularly, and you also have to push yourself. And from other studies, we know that also when it comes to antioxidants, that those molecules that work on the health of the mitochondria are the ones that appear to be most protective. And if you think about especially the effects of intense training, especially high-interval training, which is actually the real cardio training because it elicits an adaptive response. While doing low-intensity steady-state cardio may burn calories, but it does not. Your body doesn't really have to adapt to it. So this kind of exercise, which actually is progressive in nature, this is the one you want to do in order to really benefit.
But Adele, let me ask you a question, and this is a complete off-topic, but on-topic at the same time. I'm not doing any high-intensity cardio right now, but I would say that the training I do with weights is very, very high-intensity. I'm moving large amounts of weight. I'm heaving. Sometimes I become lightheaded after a set. And I'm moving very quickly. I never rest for longer than a minute and a half, in most cases a minute, and I'm moving, I'm getting right back in and doing something again. Is this considered high intensity, or am I missing something by just training that way?
No, I don't think so. And I actually think that it's a problem. If you are A, training like that and still adding actual or real typical high intensity training to it. For example, you could also consider CrossFit type training as a very high-intensity training, which also has cardiovascular benefits. And you just told me that you trained legs today, and I think you said you did five sets of squats.
Six sets of squats, six sets of hip thrusts. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody who's done squats will know that you're really gasping for air if you're doing them right.
Yeah.
And this is... it's not necessary, really, that you do high-intensity cardio training in the way you usually think about it, like sprinting for 1 minute and walking on the treadmill for 2 minutes or so.
Right.
It's much more. It's more important that you are not the guy who's just going to the gym, doing the same thing every day, and being satisfied with being able to sit on the recumbent bike for 30 minutes and burn his, let's say, 200 calories. In order to get to his 1,000 calories, he will do this five times a week. I don't think that this will elicit the same benefits as burning maybe even less energy, but trying to really progress, to make change.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
I know that you are always looking at your training outcomes. And not just the scale, or rather, not at all at the scale.
No, I haven't weighed myself in probably over a month right now, but my body is definitely changing from my training. In fact, my back is getting, the spinal erector muscles in my back are getting so thick that I haven't done leg presses in a long time because I've moved to squats now and hip thrusts and deadlifts, but I did leg presses today as an auxiliary, accessory movement. And whenever I get in the seat, I always put my hands up at the sky to kind of find my position with my butt. And the two muscles beside my spine pushed me away from the seat so far that I thought, my gosh, what is that? And it was my spinal erector muscles. They've gotten so thick that they protrude now when I sit down on the leg press machine. So, yeah, yeah. I love the feelings of the changes in my body because I'm 55 years old and I continue to get stronger and I continue to grow muscle, which tells me something is working. Okay. Let's go to prostate cancer and androgens and TRT because there's a guy in my gym who looks terrible. He's fat, he's pale, he's exhausted all the time, and he shared with me about a month ago that he's been on androgen deprivation therapy and now he's diabetic on top of it. And I said, can you get on hormone replacement therapy when the androgen blockade is done? And he said, his doctor said, absolutely not. So what's the status of what role do androgens play in the prostate cancer scenario, and where does TRT fit in?
Well, if you track what we've been talking about before, the PSA test and its prognostic value, we would have to concede that there is testosterone does not play any role because there is no correlation of normal testosterone levels and PSA levels in men, regardless of your age. So you would have to say that if you just look at this, at it from this perspective, there cannot be a problem involved here. We also have studies showing that neither total testosterone, nor free testosterone, nor estrogen, nor SHBG or cortisol, neither of those hormones are actually associated, at least with immortality for men from prostate cancer. So the whole thing appears to be a little overblown in my mind. On the other hand, you have to consider that androgen deprivation therapy works because it basically does the same we've been talking about before in the context of IGF-1. It takes away a general growth stimulus. The unfortunate truth is that you need this growth stimulus, and not just in the prostate. Actually, you don't really need it in the prostate, but you need it in the rest of your body. And therefore, you will be suffering from all those side effects. And as you just mentioned, what is pretty interesting, and I did not really see studies on that before, I did the research for today's show, is that there is actually pretty good evidence that it is not simply a problem to go on testosterone replacement therapy after you've been treated for prostate cancer, but rather the opposite. Some researchers even suggest that it's more or less necessary to counter the negative effects that are associated with androgen deprivation therapy, because we know that those are not, many obviously will think about muscle loss and bones, but interestingly, it's also about problems with the heart. And the
brain becomes unprotected in the men. Men who undergo androgen deprivation therapy open themselves up to a wide variety of neurological assaults because of the lack of androgens to convert to estrogen on demand by the brain to squelch inflammation.
Yeah. In Europe, there's actually a trend to doing androgen deprivation therapy, not with antagonists of luteinizing hormone, but with estrogen, because that would at least ameliorate some of the men.
Interesting. That's interesting because that would also have a protective effect. If you raise estrogen, you would shut down the production of androgens, but the elevation in estrogen would be have some protective mechanism for men as opposed to shutting everything off completely. That's interesting.
Well, according to what I've read in preparation for the show, this is interestingly a method that is just used over here in Europe. I don't know about the reasons, and it's still very controversial. So even over here, the regular treatment usually is androgen deprivation therapy. But as I said, the side effects are, in a way, they may be worth it if you really get rid of the prostate cancer, but that does not mean that afterwards you cannot try to restore a normal androgen level. Because if you really got rid of the cancer, that means usually you do androgen deprivation therapy not in isolation, but rather in conjunction with chemotherapy or something that really kills the cancer cells. In that case, it's not really a problem to get back to normal androgen levels, Because if there is nothing to grow, then there won't be a new case of prostate cancer. And there is a researcher from Switzerland whose name is Morgenthaler, who has done unfortunately only small scale studies and case reports. But in all of the things he has published so far, there does not really appear to be a problem with testosterone replacement therapies in prostate cancer survivors. And although this may sound somewhat hilarious, I think everybody knows one of those prostate cancer survivors who obviously did not suffer from the consequences of using all sorts of testosterone replacement therapy when he was riding his bicycle.
I think Lance Armstrong would already be dead. Right. He would have died from it. You're absolutely right. And I never thought about that. Is there any hormone that seems to play a role, if not in the development, at least in, and I mean androgenic hormone, I apologize, you know IGF-1 has a role, but is there any androgenic hormone that plays a role, if not in the development, in the progression of prostate cancer? DHT has been implicated in the past. Is that true?
Well, DHT has the ability to help the prostate cancer to spread. It's actually, at least in some of the, there are different types of prostate cancer cell lines, and in many of the cell lines, it facilitates the duplication of the cells, so to say. So, there is... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Okay. There is good evidence. I think there's somebody calling on the other line.
If we have to take a break anyway, so if we get disconnected, I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll pick up on the other side with the DHT discussion. We're talking with Adele Musa. We're talking about the prostate, what you can do to keep it healthy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Subversity Science Roundup.
She's a very kinky girl, the kind you don't take home to mother.
Want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars? You want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Way Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Way Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 50
15 grams of protein per scoop, choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinus Stain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, mic check. Yeah, here you go. But nah, he over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing.
It's called that hot new thing. Welcome back. Just a reminder, Southern Research Company's website was down for a few days. A lot of you were messaging me. They have a problem with their registrar. They have a temporary URL up now. It is Southern Research Companies, the entire three words, southernresearchcompanies.com. And, of course, the superhumanradio.com banner ad for Southern Research Companies has been updated, so you could just click that to get there. So there you go. Okay. We were talking about DHT before we thought we were getting disconnected. And clearly DHT, you were saying off the air just now, Adele, causes a phenomenon called neoplasia, which is the development of new cells, right?
Yeah.
But new cancer cells.
Of new cancer cells, but it's, again, the same mechanism applies to cells all over your body. And this is why you are really having, it's always problematic to say this is the bad guy, because it does what it's supposed to do, but unfortunately it does what it's supposed to do with the wrong cells,
right,
in this case. And the special problem with DHT is actually, and this has only been emerging in the last years, when scientists suddenly realized that for whatever reason the androgen deprivation therapy did not work in some patients, that you can actually, or your body is actually able to produce DHT directly without an intermediary conversion to testosterone from androstenediol, which is an adrenal hormone, an adrenal or steroid hormone, which is related to DHEA. And obviously, taking a pharmacological agent that will have your testes stop produce testosterone will not have at the same time stop your adrenal glands from producing these androgens.
Yeah, interesting.
And therefore, there is still enough DHT that is produced locally by converting these precursors to dihydrotestosterone that the prostate cancer can still thrive.
You know, the thing that the enzyme that's responsible for converting any androgen to DHT is 5-alpha reductase, and the hormone that is ignored in men, but critically important if prostate cancer is a concern of yours, is progesterone. Because progesterone is the hormone that reduces the effects of 5-alpha reductase. It reduces the biosynthesis of it, and it also reduces its effectiveness of converting to DHT. And interestingly enough, if you look at the progesterone molecule and you look at the finasteride molecule, they're almost identical except for one side chain. And that one side chain is a nasty thing because it gives finasteride, by some estimations, a 10 to 15 year half-life in the body. And it causes all sorts of problems once it's in your body. A lot of guys lose their libido. They develop erectile dysfunction. They develop some guys develop, what's the word I'm looking for? depression. And as Adele is pointing out, it's because DHT plays a very important role in the entire organism. While it may not be good for the prostate undergoing cancer growth, it's very critical for the brain. It's very critical for all other parts of the body. And shutting down all DHT or all androgen production in an effort to treat the prostate is like asphyxiating a patient because their cancer requires oxygen to grow, and saying, well, we're just going to asphyxiate you and we're going to kill the cancer, but we're also going to kill the patient too. And guess what? We worked. It worked. We killed the cancer, but the patient died as well. I mean, it's ridiculous. Medicine needs to look for ways to keep the DHT from activating the prostate by itself and let DHT do its necessary jobs in the rest of the body. And this is this is clearly the linkage that we come full circle to. Individuals with high concentration of melanin in their skin produce more 5-alpha reductase and have higher DHT levels. So here, Adele and I were just talking about this the other day. At any given time, somebody's got a bunch of cancer cells in their body, but their immune system knows what to do with it. It sequesters it and gets it out of the body. Well, if you're a black male and you have high DHT levels, God bless you for having those, by the way, and you have a cancer cell in your prostate, it's got a real good chance of becoming a lot of cancer cells very quickly. Would you agree with that statement?
I would, yeah. And actually, there's also evidence that people with severe acne, or men with severe acne in their teen years, are also at a higher risk of developing prostate cancer. And we also know that in some cases, at least, a high DHT level can precipitate to acne. And I'm just thinking about the vitamin A connection, by the way, because I think you once told on the air even that you saw a case of acne resolve with a high amount of vitamin A. All those things always come together. And as far as the androgens are concerned, I just want to mention another thing that is probably overlooked and which is also pretty new and maybe even interesting beside the whole discussion about prostate cancer, that is the role of SHBG. Because while there is no baseline connection with an increased cancer risk with high SHBG levels, there is an increased risk of recurrence in people who have been treated for cancer when they have high SHBG levels. And this is interesting because you would usually say, well, SHBG is carrying testosterone around and renders it inactive. But this is an overcome old theory. Because especially outside the muscle tissue, SHBG is actually needed to dock to a special SHBG receptor on the cell and to facilitate the interaction with testosterone. So there is evidence that especially in the prostate, those receptors are relatively highly expressed. And therefore, a high SHBG level makes testosterone actually more bioavailable for the prostate, while a lower SHBG level would make it more bioavailable for the muscle, probably.
You know, and this is funny because in 2008, I did a show with Dr. Paul Godley where he wrote a position paper on behalf of the Journal of the American Cancer Society explaining to doctors that androgens played no role and prostate cancer. And on my show, I said, well, was there anything that you found? And he said, yes, high SHBG levels may have some corollary effect on prostate cancer. Back then, he said that.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that the same high SHBG levels are actually beneficial in terms of diabetes and fatty liver disease. And this is probably the exact same mechanism because those organs which are implicated here, they also have those SHBG receptors in a relatively high or a relatively high amount of those. So those organs will benefit from the additional testosterone, so to say, that is then available via the SHBG mediated androgen activity, so to say.
Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, we've got two more subjects to talk about. The first one is HPV, the human papillomavirus, and its effects on the prostate. And then we're going to talk about sex. Is it good? Is it bad? We're going to find out here shortly. You're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup with the brilliant and talented Adele Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany. Visit subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com today. We'll be right back.
Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7-Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a 1-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Every day I'm hustling. That's true. Every day I am hustling. And today I'm hustling with Adele Musa as we talk about your prostate. That's right. That's my finger in your rectum. We're investigating your prostate. No, I'm not kidding. Anyway. Okay. Every time you turn around, I tell you the truth. The vaccine campaign for the human papillomavirus is harder to get rid of than the human papillomavirus. Every time you turn around, they're trying to find another reason that people should vaccinate themselves against HPV. Throat cancer is talked about, but prostate cancer is as well. Does HPV play a role in prostate cancer? Adel Moussa.
Difficult to say, but it's interesting to see that if you go by the years, the initial evidence comes from cell line studies and small-scale observational studies, and it says there could be an increased risk. Then we have more recent studies, for example, from 2008 in a study that was conducted in Germany, where they actually looked at men with prostate cancer and tried to find out whether they have been ever infected with HPV in their life. And there was no evidence to suggest that any of these men had developed prostate cancer in response to DNA changes that were brought about by HPV. And maybe I should briefly explain why people even think that HPV can cause prostate cancer, because actually it's not like HPV's main responsibility is to cause cancer.
Right.
It's rather like every virus, that it works other than bacteria, which does all the things itself. A virus will use your own body against you by reprogramming the DNA. And the basic thought is that by reprogramming the DNA, it will, by whatever mechanisms, induce changes in the DNA that may not even be intended by the virus itself, but that will elicit the very same effect as, for example, oxidative damage, and will in the end produce a cell, a degenerate cell that will become a cancer cell. And similar results have recently been published from the UK, where they did not just test for HPV, but also for other types of common viruses or viral infections in the genital tract, and where they did also conclude that these infections are absent in the typical cohort of men with prostate cancer. So the evidence actually is not really there that there is a mechanistic connection. It does not mean that it is not possible or not plausible that this could be another factor contributing to an increased prostate cancer risk, but in general, it does not appear to be one of the main determinants.
You know, and you have to think sensibly. You have to use critical thinking skills, right? I was in the car the other day with somebody, and they told me that they hate sitting on one of those overpasses, because what if a truck comes by that's tall enough to hit the overpass and cause the overpass to collapse? And I said, you know, I guess that could happen, but you can't worry about it. I mean, planes drop engines and they fall and they hit cars and kill the people in the cars. But I'm not going to not drive to and from work because I'm worried about that. You've got to think this through. What are your risks of HPV? If you're a married man and you're in a monogamous relationship and your spouse isn't cheating on you, then chances of you getting HPV are very, very rare. So should you vaccinate? Should you start worrying about it? I don't think so, especially if you're doing all the other things right. Which then leads us to the discussion, since I've talked about your spouse and you're sexually active. What role does sex, or more importantly, orgasm, play on the health of a prostate? We know that if you have an orgasm the night before, the morning of your PSA test, they're going to think you've got cancer. So how could this marker for cancer also elevate after an orgasm? What's the deal with sex and the prostate, Adele?
Well, the underlying reasons are not really elucidated, but there are several theories out there, and I think one of the most convincing ones, although it sounds stupidly simple, is some sort of cleaning effect. And you could also argue that the contraction itself may be important.
Mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, you are getting rid of stuff that is otherwise stuck down there and going rancid, so to say. I mean, if you think about all the procedures that have to be taken to protect sperm from dying and getting rancid, so to say, when you want to store it anywhere, you can imagine what will happen to the last remnants right next to your prostate. Although it's really not sure what exactly the mechanism is, we do know from epidemiological studies that 4 to 7 ejaculations per week are beneficial across the board. And they are specifically beneficial for older men, in 40 and older, in whom you see a -41% risk reduction in general prostate cancer risk. when they are having 4 to 7 ejaculations per week. In younger men, it's only a minus 11%. And interestingly enough, another study even found that in younger men, there appears to be an association with a very high, almost excessively high rate of masturbation and increase in prostate cancer.
Oh, damn.
Now, on the other hand, you can
I wish you didn't say that, because I probably have prostate cancer right now then. Because I gotta be honest with the audience. When I found out about masturbation, I didn't want to do anything else for a long time when I was a kid. I was pretty young. So if that's the case, I'm in trouble. Bad news for me. Okay.
Well, but the scientists who conducted this study, they also say that this may be the excessive masturbation may be also a sign of underlying imbalances, hormonal imbalances, or very high androgen levels at that time, and this may precipitate people for prostate cancer. And in general, all this is just observational, so we don't have any controlled trials telling men in their 20s to masturbate, let's say, 14 times a day and see what their prostate cancer risk will be in 60 years or so. And as I mentioned right at the beginning of the show, this is really one of the main problems. Also, the PSA test. If you have an elevated PSA level now, it will take at least 10 to 15 years for this to. Usually, it will take 10 to 15 years for this to manifest in real prostate cancer. And therefore, the Cochrane review I referenced before actually says that someone whose life expectancy is only 10 to 15 years from now, he doesn't really have to bother about this.
Well, and it sounds to me like if you were one of those people who masturbated frequently at a young age and could have created a propensity to develop prostate cancer later on in life, that could be mitigated by having 4 to 6 or 4 to 7 orgasms a week now in later life.
Yeah, you could even argue that maybe it's it's the sudden absence of this regular ejaculation that makes all the difference. So if you're going from 100% to 1% after you are married for 15 years or so, then this could be the actual problem.
Well, think about it. Think about it for a second, Adele. The role of the prostate is to produce the seminal fluid, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if you are one of these people who is having at least one orgasm a day for some period of your life, we know about upregulation. Look at muscle, right? It supercompensates. So the prostate goes, wow, amazing demands being put on me. I'm going to make a lot more, and it ramps up. Then all of a sudden you just stop. Or let's say you don't just stop, but you drop from what your 100% is to this new percentage below, which maybe is 10%. And now all of a sudden your prostate continues to make that same volume of fluid, but it's not going anywhere now.
Mm. Well, what's interesting is also that there is also an increased risk of prostate cancer in people who have got vasectomy done. I'm not sure what exactly the underlying mechanism is here, but it obviously goes in the same direction, I would say, because it may also be related to the fluid with the sperm is usually transported with, and whether other factors are involved here, I don't know, and could also be a result of the invasive procedure that is involved here.
Right, trauma, direct trauma.
Trauma or maybe some sort of minor infection that caused the initial, as I said before, there is just this initial step where you have to have this DNA damage that will then produce the first handful of cancer cells, and then all the environmental factors, the androgens and so on and so forth, they start to really make a difference.
Well, the bottom line is this. If you've gotten to this point in your life and you don't have prostate cancer and the risk of prostate cancer, having 4 to 6 orgasms a week is a good protective mechanism. And if you can't get your spouse or your significant other to participate, or you happen to be the Lone Ranger right now, then you need to facilitate your own orgasms, because they're obviously healthy. And they can protect your prostate if you're genuinely looking for possibly the single best. I mean, look, supplements, yes and no. Foods, yes and no. We do know sunlight and exercise, these things definitely protect the prostate. But one of the things that seems to protect the prostate unequivocally across the board are orgasms that result in ejaculation. So you got to do it yourself sometimes. Keep your prostate healthy. And if your wife is banging on the bathroom door going, what the hell are you doing in there? I say, I'm taking care of my prostate. That's all. That's it. Anyway, okay. So let's come full circle. So Clay Tisdale begged the question about we either die from prostate cancer or die with prostate cancer. Is there or are there other options, Adele?
Well, if you look at the scarce information that's out there, it appears that there are no real options if you define prostate cancer as simple having some abnormal cells in the prostate tissue. Because there are only a few studies investigating this, but one from 2012 from Urania actually found that 28% of the autopsies they examined on men who died at an age of 50 or older had actually a low-grade invasive cells in the prostate. And the figures will get even higher for older people. And therefore, it's pretty likely that when you die and somebody does conducts an autopsy on your body and analyzes your prostate, then the doctor or whoever did that will actually find some signs of beginning, so to say, first stage prostate cancer or even a real tumor, which may not even have affected you all your life. And maybe it's also interesting to put this into perspective, what's your risk of dying from prostate cancer? And according to data from the CDC from 2010, for the average American man, the risk of dying from prostate cancer is currently 0.0188%. So it's less than...
Less than 1%. It's less than 1%.
It's much less than 1%.
Right.
It's what's it called in English?
Zero tens. It's a 118,000th. I think, is that right? 001.
You zero, said? Zero, 001. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a.
If you have an increase of 50%, increased chance of dying of cancer of 50%, this always sounds like you are crazily in danger.
Right.
But this is an increase on an already relatively low risk.
Yeah, and even if you have an increase by 50%, that's still under 1% risk. So you're right. You're splitting hairs. And take this into context with a large number of news reports that you're going to be seeing in the weeks ahead here in the United States about hospitals doing unnecessary procedures that put people's health at risk, that damage people's health, that even people die as a result, only to find out that they were unnecessary procedures. There are guys out there undergoing androgen deprivation therapy that is destroying their lives for a case of prostate cancer that probably could have been dealt with in a totally different way, including let's sit and watch.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I mentioned before. We are missing the second-line evidence test, which may, I think it is also a problem of how much these tests will probably cost. But in the end, if you have conclusive evidence from a first PSA test, for example, that there is an increased risk, you would have to have some sort of marker, of reliable marker, and I must admit that it appears that at least we have no consensus on which marker this could be. There are a few suggested, and all those are pretty expensive gene tests. But I think it would be well worth it trying to figure out which second-line test could avoid these unnecessary treatments. And this would be the next step before you actually go and start androgen deprivation or even go and do an invasive procedure in order to look at the tissue. Because in most of the cases, nothing happens, but it still entails a significant risk of severe side effects, and those side effects are things that are going to bother you for the rest of your life, and therefore I think this is really an area where scientists should put more effort in compared to trying to figure out whether it's saturated fat that precipitates prostate cancer or not. And just to get back to the dietary thing, one of the smartest sentences I actually read doing research for this show is from a study from 2012 by a researcher called Schmidt-Drager. He's a German, and he wrote in his paper, which dealt with the risk factors, and especially the dietary risk factors of prostate cancer, that this move from single compounds to more complex diets can be considered as a change of paradigm in prostate cancer prevention and could be the starting point of future epidemiological research. So this actually goes back to what I've said before. If you have a high saturated fat intake, it's actually pretty likely that you also have a high vitamin A intake. And it would be really also much easier for people to implement strategies if they did not get a list of 1,000 items that are beneficial and 1,000 items that are bad for them, but just some basic advice and dietary advice, which diet to follow. And we do actually have pretty conclusive evidence for the Mediterranean diet and accumulating evidence for the paleo diet in terms of their cancer protective effects, not just in terms of prostate cancer, but in terms of cancer in general. And those general principles, I mean, those diets are not set in stone, like eat only these foods and that those foods, but rather the basic notions and the staples, this would be something that people can really benefit from. And I do have an extensive list of supplements and nutrients here right in front of me. I picked up during my research.
Do you want to go over those? Because if you want to go over those, I have to take one commercial break. If you want to go over those,
okay, take a break and then we finish with the list.
Okay, so we're gonna go over what you can do, what supplements you can take, and what you can do to keep your prostate healthy. When we come back with Adele Musa, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
I don't know.
Yeah. Welcome back. Okay. So we're going to cover at what we consider the prescription for a healthy prostate here. Things that we feel, that both Adele and I feel, are critical here. Adele, you're going to list some of the key supplements that you've discovered may play a role in a healthy prostate. Is that correct?
Well, there are actually so many. I just will pick a few highlights.
Right.
For example, and especially those maybe people have not heard about. I think cruciferous vegetables is something everybody will heard about, but that sweet potatoes and regular potatoes contain certain polyphenols, for example, which are have also protective effects against prostate cancer, is something people won't have heard probably. Then you can expect you got all the usual suspects like ginger, like garlic, like curcumin, like green tea, resveratrol, and what I found particularly interesting, grapeseed extract, because for most of those, we do actually know that they work particularly well in cell lines, but especially for curcumin and resveratrol, the bioavailability is a real problem. And you don't really achieve those levels around the cell, around the cancer cell, that would be necessary to send it into remission. This doesn't mean that it does not have a protective effect, but scientists are usually trying to implicate that they are looking for a real treatment for existing prostate cancer. And this is something that goes for all those supplements, that you cannot really expect to be bulletproof by just taking one of these supplements. It's rather like you want to include, for example, turmeric in your diet regularly. You want to eat garlic regularly. You want to drink a ginger ale or something like that regularly in order to get the whole spectrum of all those good things. And for the grape seeds, it's pretty interesting that we do actually have a human data from an epidemiological study which investigated the effects of different supplements on the prostate cancer risk, and those were people who were taking supplements on their own, and they were just questioned, what supplements are you taking? And the only one that emerged with a significant effect was the grapeseed extract, and that had a -41% risk reduction in cancer incidence. On the other hand, one of the staples you usually see suggested as a protective agent is saw palmetto, and that had no effect in this study. So as you see, it's really difficult, and not all of the agents that will work in vitro will also work in living organisms. What is certainly worth mentioning is EPA, the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, and CoQ10. Those have been studied only recently, and there was a reduction in PSA of 30% and of 33% with the administration of the two. And for EPA, the dosage is not even high. It's 1.12 grams per day. in adult men, and for CoQ10, it's also only 100 milligrams per day. And the mechanisms are probably different. For CoQ10, it's probably the an increased stability of the mitochondria.
Right.
And, mitochondrial protection, so to say. For EPA, it's another important thing, which is an effect on the metabolism of prostaglandins, which are, as all the other factors we've mentioned before, growth promoters, general growth promoters, which will also make the cancer cells grow. And therefore, it's probably that EPA works by reducing growth as well. Then there is some evidence for cancer, for coffee. In general, it appears to have a beneficial effect, especially on the severity of prostate cancer. Whether it also protects from prostate cancer in general is not that certain. There are studies showing risk reductions of up to 50%, but there are others showing no results, and even some that would suggest that there are minimal increases in risk. So all those supplements and all those dietary factors are probably rather, have to be seen rather in conjunction, as I've mentioned before, as part of a whole dietary concept. What is more on another level is the sun exposure. We've been talking about that before, and also adequate sleep. We know from studies in shift workers that they are at particular risk of developing prostate cancer, just as women working night shifts are at particular risk of developing breast cancer.
Right.
And this obviously brings up the notion that melatonin could be an important molecule here. And as it turns out, melatonin works not just in the Petri dish, but also in vivo as a very potent activator of autophagy, which is the usual or the normal cell cycle process where the cell is dying. And it actually helps your body to get rid of the abnormal cells before they can become cancerous cells at all. So therefore, it's really important to live in sync with your biological clock if you want to avoid any form of cancer.
We also have a celebrity who wants us to be aware of another helpful way to protect the prostate. The rapper Pitbull has something to say.
Make love, don't fight. Let's hook tonight.
That's right, Pitbull. Having frequent orgasms can also protect your prostate. So don't forget what Pitbull says. Make love, don't fight. Let's hook tonight. Tell that to your significant other or your right hand, whichever one that you're living with right now. Obviously, that's another important one. There's a whole list of don'ts as well. Do you want to go through these? Or do you want to just post these on the Subversity seconds for your blog?
I think I can include those on the seconds. Most of them have actually been mentioned or are related as a contrary point to the do's. For example, it's quite obvious that you don't want to create an imbalance between omega-3 fatty acids and omega-6 fatty acids.
Right.
This would be one of the don'ts. One that is particularly interesting, and we've mentioned that actually in the last show, is that when you are already treated for prostate cancer, the worst thing you can do is taking very high doses of vitamin C or other potent antioxidants, because actually the way the therapy works is by inducing the production of reactive oxygen specimens, which are then part of the process of or involved in the process of killing the cancer. And when you are shutting those this production down, you are actually hampering your treatment success. And there is a pretty impressive study from Japan which showed very significant reductions in treatment success in patients who were taking high amounts of vitamin C every day during their chemotherapy because they thought they could ameliorate side effects. Well, they could ameliorate the side effects, maybe, but this is just another case where the side effects and the effects are actually from the same source. And therefore, the actual effect on the cancer was also hampered, and the treatment outcome was negative then.
Yeah. So, obviously, there's a time and place for high antioxidant use. The time and place is before you get the cancer. After the cancer, because the reactive oxygen species plays a role in destroying cancer cells. Okay, this has been a great show. Over 2 hours of amazing prostate health information. Guys in the audience, gals in the audience, pass this around to your friends and your loved ones, because they really can play a large role in the outcome of their lives. After today's show, listen to the two-part series, The World According to Monsanto, Part 1 and Part 2. Shocking information that I'm sure that you'll enjoy. Adele Moussa, thank you so much for the hard work that you put into today's prostate show.
Well, it was a pleasure, and I hope if someone, at least one person, got some valuable information from the show, I'm already happy.
Yeah, there you go. All right, thank you, Adele, and tomorrow is Friday, of course. Tune in for Casual Friday with Elisa Profumo. We'll see you then.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.